I feel that it is very important that we should draw some practical conclusions rather than just leaving the material in an idealistic form, because the entire intent of this study and this class is to help make you and me the powerful preachers we ought to be. And God, help us to apply these truths and to practice them in a very logical, detailed, practical way. But now in this particular part of our study, I am going to focus my attention specifically on expository preaching. The reason that I'm doing this is because I am completely convinced that expository preaching, when done appropriately and correctly, is the most powerful preaching on earth. I believe this to be true because God has honored His Word and will continue to honor His Word. And a preacher that places the Bible in its prominent and superlative position in his preaching, and I believe expository preaching does this better than any other type, this preacher will experience God's anointing and blessing, assuming that his life is pure and clean before God, as we've discussed in previous tapes. It's very interesting. A great deal of people are talking about expository preaching today. A great deal is being taught about expository preaching. There are books on expository preaching, and I wholeheartedly applaud these efforts in bringing preachers and preaching back to expository preaching. But I have to wonder if we really know what expository preaching is and how to achieve it. Expository preaching, in its basic form, is preaching the scripture text or texts in such a way that the holy, inalterable Word of God forms the basis and detail of every part of the sermon. The title comes from the scripture, though of course it may be restated in the preacher's words. The major points will come from the text. The subpoints of the sermon will also be found in the text, either by precept or by principle. And I believe the application and the challenge that the preacher will give to the people will be easily determined and found as coming from the scripture. In other words, all of the sermon is simply a mouthpiece for the scripture text to speak. And I do not know of a more clear and accurate definition of a preacher or a sermon than that the preacher and his sermon is to become simply a mouthpiece for the scripture text to speak. He should not add to it, he should not detract from it, but rather that preacher and his sermon, taking that scripture text, should become a mouthpiece for that text through which he is enabled to preach the Word of God so that the scripture is speaking to the people. Therefore, it is vitally important for every part of the sermon to come out of the scripture that you're dealing with in your expository preaching. Now, you might object to this viewpoint by saying that it makes the preacher a slave to his text. I want to say that it seems to me that today we need to become more attached, though not enslaved, to our scripture texts. We are not called to preach our feelings, our thoughts, or our creative suggestions. We're called to preach the Word. We're called to preach the scripture. As I said earlier, it grieves me, and surely it grieves the Lord, when a preacher gets up and takes a text when he gets ready to preach, and then he begins to preach as if he never read that text. He makes no reference to it. He doesn't speak about it. He doesn't explain it. He doesn't illustrate it. He doesn't underscore it. He doesn't admonish the people about it. He just read a text, and then he starts preaching a sermon which he has created. I think that is a breach of trust. God has trusted this man to preach the Word, and he has not been faithful in his duty, at least on that particular day, in his preaching. However, I want to also suggest to you that expository preaching, as I've defined it here in these few moments, does not in itself negate thematic preaching, nor preaching which compares text with text. You may use more than one text and preach expositorily. A preacher doesn't have to just stick with one particular verse of Scripture or one paragraph or one particular chapter in order to preach expositorily. You may preach about a biblical theme if you deal with the Scripture properly, and still you'll be able to preach expositorily upon that particular theme. What I am suggesting to you is that topical and thematic preaching can and must be expository in nature. Let us not set expository preaching in a category all by itself, as separate from topical preaching or textual preaching. Rather, let's make expository preaching the foundation upon which we build all of our preaching. I believe that very strongly, and I want to communicate that to you. Now, I know there are many, many wonderful teachers and good men of God, preachers, who believe that expository preaching is just one segment of preaching, as is topical, as is thematic, as is textual, so on and so forth. But I want to look at expository preaching as the launching pad from which I preach any sermon, whether it's pastoral, evangelistic, a message of encouragement and comfort, of social value, to challenge the people to respond in a commitment way to the Lord regarding what He would have them to do in their lives. Whatever it is, I want to preach expositorily, because this is the way that a man of God can preach over a period of a lifetime, 30, 40, 50 years, and preach with power. Therefore, you can and should preach evangelistically, pastorally, to edify the saint. But always, again, I say always, preach expositorily. Now, since expository preaching draws its basis and detail from the text or texts, so that every part of the sermon is biblical in its focus, attention, and declaration, then expository preaching will and must draw the hearer to the Word of God so that life application can be made. Expository preaching will teach and encourage a biblical theology among the laity. The whole counsel of God will be brought to bear upon the struggles and the questions of the people. In every situation of life, the Bible speaks pointedly, concisely, and authoritatively. You simply cannot do better than preach the Bible, regardless of your subject or sermonic objective. Either in precept or in principle, the Bible will speak to the hearts of the hearers if you and I, the preacher, will allow ourselves simply to become a mouthpiece for the text. To become a mouthpiece so that that passage of Scripture, or that the whole counsel of God's Word can speak through us, is essentially our primary role and objective in expository preaching. Now, I want to also give a warning to you that if you adopt expository preaching as your method of proclaiming the Word of God, then be sure that you do not fall into what I call the commentary trap. The commentary trap is where a preacher thinks he's expositing the Scripture when he gives a running, ongoing commentary of the text. He may not make any application of the text pointedly and specifically, and he certainly fails to give form and systematic analysis to the text. Now, my dear brother, I want to say a word to you personally about this. To teach the Bible in this manner, as a running, ongoing commentary, just verse by verse by verse, and give explanation as to what that verse means, and when you're finished with it, explaining it, go to the next verse, and so on and so forth. That approach may be fine for a Bible class, and I think it is fine for a Bible class. But please understand, that is not expository preaching. Expository preaching gives systematic analysis and synthesis to the biblical truth which is taught in the text under consideration. Preaching and teaching are totally separate. Now, an old professor of mine used to say, and I agreed with him and have thought of it through the years, he used to say, every time you preach, you ought to teach. And every time you teach, you ought to preach. Well, that's true. I like that. However, at the same time, I believe that in our generation, we have lost contact with what great preaching really is all about. And in our effort to come back to the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, in reaction to the liberal departure from the historical grammatical accuracy with which we need to address ourselves in Scripture, we've come back and gone all the way on the other side. Instead of preaching the Bible, we're just simply teaching the Bible. And what I'm trying to say to you is that expository preaching is preaching. It is not simply a commentary. It is preaching the text of the Word of God. Now, to be sure, expository preaching needs to probe the unearthed and unobtruse teachings which form the main thrust of the text. Expository preaching must drive home these teachings, though, with clarity, conviction, and unction. The Word of God is speaking when a man preaches expositorily, and the preacher must not let the hearer get away without understanding what the text says and what it means, and then how it applies to the hearer. No one should leave the sanctuary where an expository preaching has been done without making some kind of decision. Now, they may not agree with God, and they may not agree with the sermon, but they've had to make a decision, either to receive the message of God and affirm it in their own hearts, or to reject the message of God and say no to what God has said. Either way, it's a decision. And the expository sermon is not there just to dispense information about what the city's name was and who was there and what they did and what happened and what battles were fought out of the Scripture. But it's there to drive home the points. It's there to drive home the application so that everyone must make a decision. They must either agree with God so as to change their behavior, or they will disagree with God, leaving the worship service determined to disobey the Holy One who has just spoken to them through the Bible. Make your objective as an expository preacher to give the message of the text the form and outline which will both clarify the issues, explain the text, and rivet the truths of God's Word to the hearts of the hearer. This is your divine responsibility, because this is expository preaching. Now, we will say more about application in the expository sermon later in the section bearing that title. Now, let me speak to you just a minute about the benefits of expository preaching. I believe that the benefits of expository preaching are myriad, varied, and many. And there are many kinds of reasons why expository preaching is the superior method of preaching the Word. In this section, I want to deal with seven practical benefits of expository preaching. First of all, expository preaching will reveal, quote, the faith, unquote, in all of its glorious and magnanimous detail. When I speak of the faith, I am not referring to a subjective faith by which the sinner exercises trust and dependence in the Lord Jesus to be saved. To be sure, I believe in subjective faith. As Christians, we have to exercise faith in the Lord, to trust in Him, and depend upon Him as we walk through this sojourn in this walk of life. As a sinner, one must exercise faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross in order to be saved. But that is a subjective faith, and it's true. But what I'm talking about here, when I speak of the faith, I'm talking about the doctrinal teaching, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian faith. Did you know that there is such a thing? That there is an objective body of doctrinal truth which has been held as the doctrinal position of the church historically through the centuries? It's an amazing thing to me, as I preach in various churches, as well as in my own church, to discover many good, wonderful Christian people who do not know what the faith is. They do not know that the church has historically stood on some basic doctrines through the years, which form the essence of the faith which we hold dear. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on the teaching of the apostles. Following the book of Acts, we have some marvelous epistles which are written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, most of which were written by the great Apostle Paul. Yet there are some there by Peter and James and John and others. And the purpose of these epistles is to give substance to the teaching and doctrine of the church. These epistles give us practical instruction and theological belief. It is vitally important that you and I, as pastors, become convinced that we must preach doctrinally. Any pastor who desires to preach the Bible and to preach expositorily must preach doctrine. Unfortunately, liberalism has robbed the church of much of her convictions. It is imperative that we return to the basics of the faith regarding the virgin birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the second coming of Christ, the verbal plenary view of the inspiration of scriptures. The preacher who preaches expositorily will preach systematically through the Word of God and thus through biblical theology. I am fully persuaded that our deep and most important concern from a theological perspective is not so much the theology reflected in certain biblical writers, or such as a Johannine theology or a Pauline theology, but we must become more convinced and determined to deal with the biblical theology, which is consistent throughout the New Testament. There is therefore then a faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Christian faith. Therefore, as a person preaches expositorily in a systematic, consistent, regular, well-planned-out way, he will deal with the great doctrines of the Christian church. Expository preaching, dealt with in this fashion, will keep heresy at bay. Heresy has a very hard time where a church is being systematically taught from an expository preacher. Satan's doctrinal deceptions are soon found out as the Word of God is rightly and accurately divided. I believe that if preachers today would adopt the expository preaching method as their mode of preaching, then we would see less heresy in the church today. Christians, as a result, would be generally edified and built up in their most holy faith. In addition, cults and unchristian religious groups would find it hard to prey on Christians. Therefore, expository preaching helps to keep the doctrine of the church clean and keep the church well-rooted in its historical doctrinal position. Secondly, I believe that expository preaching, when done properly, creates an atmosphere of harmony and cooperation between the preacher and the congregation. You see, the underlying premise of expository preaching is that the Bible is God's word without error, and it should be accepted as the foundation for faith and behavior. Is this not a wonderful common denominator for the pastor and congregation to share together? When problems and decisions come up, the issue in a church like this one will primarily be, quote, "What does the Bible say about this issue?" End of quote. It is not so much a matter of what does the majority of the people say. It is not primarily a matter of what does the pastor teach. But when the pastor and congregation and the leadership of the church unitedly congregate their hearts around, what does the Bible say? Let us study what God's word says, and when we find out what God says, then we will wholeheartedly commit ourselves to it. Then you find a happy church, a church in which harmony can grow and develop. Happy is the congregation whose leadership leads from a biblical base and perspective. The wise pastor will preach expositorily, thus building a perspective that honors God and God's word, putting Christ Jesus as Lord of the church. In addition, I might add, expository preaching will add to the length of tenure of the average pastor. Now, I am a Southern Baptist pastor, and since I've been pastoring here in this church nearly 10 years, the average stay of a Southern Baptist pastor has arisen from 18 months to about 3 to 4 years. And that's an excellent improvement. However, it is not good enough. Of course, there are times when God moves a man after a short period of time. However, I'm convinced that God's general method is to leave a pastor for a good deal of time to lead the people, love the people, pray for the people, and teach the people and disciple the leadership over a period where there will be extended and abiding fruit. When a man begins to preach expositorily, it will enable him to stay for a longer period of time. Thus, it will create harmony, security, and stability in the church. Instead of preaching his file of sermons that he has already prepared, the wise pastor will turn to the Bible as his source of sermons. If he would analytically and systematically teach and preach the Bible to his people, then he will find his heart desiring to stay until all of God's word has been preached, rather than looking for another church because he's just run out of sermons. I think every pastor should set as a goal in his church to preach through the Bible before he leaves. Of course, the Lord may have him to stay for the rest of his life, but at least, surely, it is an admirable goal to say, I want to preach through the Word of God before I leave this congregation, should the Lord call me away. Expository preaching will help him to do that. A third benefit of expository preaching is that it increases the spiritual and moral power of the congregation. One of the most tragic, heart-rending situations in the modern church is the acceptance of and presence of overt sin, which is now in many cases being accepted as an alternative Christian lifestyle. The stories of Achan, David, and Bathsheba, Ananias and Sapphira, and many others are enough to warn all of us that God does not and will not tolerate sin in the midst of his people. Expository preaching helps to purify the spiritual life of the church. It does so because it brings the people into raw contact with the Holy Scriptures. I believe sin cannot subsist without reaction or repentance in the presence of the brilliancy of the light of God's Word. Purity of heart and life will accompany the pastor and congregation who enjoy a steady diet of expository preaching. Expository preaching will bring all of God's Word to bear upon the practical and the moral questions represented in the church. Again, the questions, the great moral issues of the day, will not be decided upon by a majority vote or by a ruling by the leadership board, whether they be deacons or elders. But rather, the moral questions of the day will be answered by "Thus saith the Lord," when expository preaching is the rule. A fourth benefit of expository preaching is that it encourages a balanced preaching ministry. It is all too easy for the best of preachers to ride his hobby horse, whether it be a pet doctrine or a personal concern. All of us have known in our lifetime someone who, though had the best of intentions and perhaps was motivated properly, when he got up to preach, a smile swept across the faces of the people, for he was well known of having just one thing to say, just one sermon to preach. Well, as a pastor, I believe that it is vitally important that the pastor of the church, I'm not speaking of the evangelist or the itinerant Bible conference speaker, but the pastor, the man of God who stays year in and year out with the sheep to teach them, edifying the people of God from the Word, this man must have a balanced ministry in his preaching. He must preach from all of God's Word, not just leaning on one section, which he particularly likes or understands well. And in expository preaching, the preacher will be able to feed the flock from all of God's Word. As you preach from the many wonderfully various books of the Bible, and you should preach from all of them, there will be a wonderful balance of doctrine, ethics, and spiritual and practical concerns. And your people will get a well-balanced diet to feed upon as they study the Word of God. This is a benefit of expository preaching if it's done properly. A fifth benefit of expository preaching is that it demands a high view of inspiration of Scripture in the life of the preacher and the congregation. I have personally never met a man who preached expositorily in a regular method while at the same time refusing to hold a high view of biblical inspiration. In fact, I'm not convinced it can happen. Because, you see, believing in the inerrancy of Scripture is indicative to biblical preaching. It is a part of biblical preaching. It will cultivate a reverent, accurate, and humble handling of the holy text. The expository preacher always knows that he is treading on holy ground, and that as he preaches the holy book, the holy scriptures, he must be humble and reverent in his exegesis and in his delivery. In addition, expository preaching will encourage the congregation to view the Scripture as inerrant. They will view the Bible as a result of a consistent, regular diet of expository preaching. They will begin to view the Bible as their source book of help, of information, of inspiration, of encouragement, as their direction in life. This is exactly what God intended for the Bible to be, as the psalmist declared that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God wants His book, the Bible, to be this kind of leader, director, helper, guider, as we walk through life. And expository preaching helps that to take place. The people, as they hear expository preaching preached over the years, will look to the scripture, not just to the pastor, not just to the denominational literature, but to the Bible as their source of comfort, guidance, strength, and enlightenment. What better thing could a pastor hope for in his congregation? A sixth benefit of expository preaching, as I see it, is that expository preaching will keep the church on track. Personal and corporate obedience are always required of God's people. It is easy, especially in today's fast-paced, high-tech church era, to think that programs will replace preaching. In previous tapes, I had spoken, I think, quite strongly regarding the importance of accepting preaching in its high position as God has given it to us, rather than putting programs and the institution or an organization of the church in place of it. And one thing that expository preaching does is it keeps preaching in front of the people. It keeps the church on track. It allows the church to see God's method of dealing with the world and sinners, and God's method of propagating the gospel through preaching. It is all too common that programs and worked up enthusiasm take the place of good, solid obedience. But what expository preaching does is that it confronts such shallow thinking. It requires that we meet God face to face, that we consider His ways, and yield ourselves wholeheartedly unto Him. A seventh benefit of expository preaching is that expository preaching puts the preacher in a position to claim Isaiah 55, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says here in this precious passage of Scripture, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, that His thoughts, God's thoughts, are way above our thoughts. His ways are extremely transcendent to our ways. That in an illustrative form, as the heavens give rain to the earth, and snow covers the earth, and does not return back to the clouds until they water the earth and prepare the earth so that the earth may bring forth its fruit, its crops, its buds, its flowers, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Even so, the word of God has come down from God to us. And as we preach it to the people, as we give it to the people, as we explain and preach with great earnestness and conviction of the word of God to the people, that the promise is that that word, the word of God, will not return void back to God. It'll go back to heaven with fruit. And I believe that the expository preacher is in a position to claim that wonderful promise more than any other preacher. The word of God is powerful, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God penetrates the soul and spirit, dividing joints and marrow, judging even the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And as the expository preacher preaches it and gives prominence to it in the pulpit, which it so richly deserves, and as he honors the word, not himself, but the word, in his preaching, then something wonderful begins to happen. Expository preaching will do more for the church than anything that I know. It will exalt God. It will destroy sin. It will downplay the preacher's intellect and charisma. There is no possibility for God to do anything greater than what he can and will do through the expository preaching of the Word of God. I cannot impress upon you how vitally important, how precious, how wonderful expository preaching really is. I have tried to outline for you on this side of the tape 7 reasons why I believe expository preaching is superior, a superior method of preaching the Word of God. I have tried to define for you what the expository method really is. That it is just not taking a text, but it is actually dealing with God's Word in a structural manner so that the introduction, the major points, the subpoints, the invitation, the conclusion, the summary, all of it comes out of God's Word. In the next, I am going to begin to share with you how I believe a man can preach expositorily over the years. I want to give you a methodology, one which I personally use and have used for years. Tragically, though we're taught that we ought to preach expositorily, and though we're told we ought to preach expositorily, tragically, many times we're never given the how-tos of preaching expositorily. And though there are various ways in which a pastor or preacher can preach expositorily, there is no one divinely given way. I believe it would be helpful to us to share a bit regarding some how-tos regarding pastoring and preaching expositorily. My prayer is that through this wonderful school and through its various tentacles as it goes out throughout the world, both in the United States and other countries, that God will raise up a generation of godly, anointed, expository preachers. And though we are dealing in these particular notes in our class on the practicalities of studying the Bible and preaching the Bible, yet we have not lost sight of the anointing of God. We must have God's anointing, and may God help us as we preach together. This is the end of number 8, entitled Practical Suggestions.